Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Lord Jesus, we honor you. We surrender it all to you. Thank you for utterance this morning. Thank you for salvations. Thank you for transformations. Thank you for strengthening, for straightening, for empowering, for uplifting. Father, we receive of you this morning. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control wherever you may be. I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice wherever you may lead. I will follow. You're the shepherd of our soul, the lover of our soul, and we give you absolute control. We surrender it all to you. Thank you, because at the end of it all, we will stand before you, and you will say, "Well done, O good and faithful servant." We will stand before you, we will finish our race strong, for you are the one who began the work in us, and you are able to complete it. We exalt your name, matchless one. We exalt your name, almighty God. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we do another 5 high fives? Give some 5 people high five as you get to your seats. Thank you so much, Hill City. Bless ministers. Hallelujah. So I know that I totally messed up those lyrics, but Jesus knows. Hallelujah. Jesus absolutely is the best. You know, that's the thing about him. I'll be all over the place, but the Lord will be speaking. Our topic this morning is the practice of surrender, living a yielded life every day. The practice of surrender, living a yielded life every day. You know, I gave my life to Christ many times. As a child, we lived in a school compound. And so on Sunday evenings, they had what they called preaching then. It was fellowship. And people came and preached to the students in their fellowship. Sometimes it was just the students. Then sometimes it would be a minister from outside, and they will preach the gospel very fiery with the fear of hell right in the middle of it. And I had no other choice but to give my life to Christ at every point. It continued all the way to when I entered secondary school, and I found that, I've told this story many times, but I know that it will help someone. I found that when those fiery preachers came to SCM, you know, we'll give our lives to Christ. But I noticed that when it was time to return the benches, because benches will be moved from the dining hall to the fellowship hall, and we needed to return them on our way from fellowship. On our way from fellowship, some of us will abandon the bench halfway. Some of us will lie to a senior that has demanded something or sent you on an errand, or completely disappear, not carrying out the instruction, which we used to call zap. You know, you can be sent on an errand and you just miss. You can also, because we didn't have running water in the hostels, and we fetch from a stream, sometimes there will be water in the reservoir, but you have to get in water to under your bed. And if you missed the time of going to stream or getting from the reservoir, you will tap from someone's own. Stealing. You will steal someone's water and put in your bucket. Sometimes if you are a good person, you may tap a bowl. If you are a bad person, you may tap the entire bucket. And so this virtuous cycle of always giving my life to Christ and finding that I could not live the Christ way was just there. That battle, you know. Until Jesus himself, November 20, 2001, a long time ago, some people were not yet born then, a lot of people here, you know. The preacher was preaching. This time around, it was now university, year one. The preacher was preaching. The preacher was my roommate. As a matter of fact, that my roommate had pissed me off completely. But she was preaching, and I wasn't in that fellowship, but my friend was and had invited me. And I came and I was listening. I don't know the title of the message, but I was hearing, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was like Jesus himself was telling me, you are to serve me. Hallelujah. Jesus met me. And I think from then he began to teach me. Hallelujah. That it wasn't me. It wasn't me that was going to live the Christ life. That I had received the Spirit right within me. His own Spirit within me. And I had received something I'd never heard of, the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. I thought that righteousness was something we had to do ourselves. I didn't know that it started with a gift. That gift in itself is quite empowering. And so I always share this thing to tell you, because one of the things I faced was that I felt that, oh, there were some people that were born to be born again. Does that make sense? Some people were born to be born again. Their disposition, they are serious-minded, they are strong-willed, they follow the Lord, they are zealous, right? And I, very weak. Very weak in myself. But it is the Lord. The Lord came and met me and told me that, see, in this life, I am doing most of the work. Hallelujah. Yes, you have your part to play. I have my part to play. But he is the one who walks in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have a response. We have a response. Even faith does not come from us. Yes, we have a response of believing and focusing and looking to him. But most of the things that are so critical for our lives, our success in life, our finishing the race, is from God. So when we're talking about surrender, I want us to understand that sometimes you just take the first step and he runs to you. Hallelujah. You're just taking one step of, Lord, I'm here. Lord, have your way. Lord, help me. Lord, this is crazy. Holy Spirit, you can see how tough my situation is. Holy Spirit, you are inside of me. You can feel the burden. And he comes to help you, to carry you. Hallelujah. I began to ask myself, what, from God's perspective, what does our life of surrender look like? What does my surrender look like from God's perspective? If God is looking, what does my surrender look like? what is it like, this daily practice of surrender? Because surrender is daily. It can't be about the past. We can't leave it in the past and say, oh, I did okay yesterday. Today, I'm not going to surrender. Surrender is a daily thing. It is expressed in our practical choices, the choices we make every day, the consistent obedience in everyday life. It is a race. I'm just reading from my notes so that I will not miss anything. It is a race. It is like a marathon. It is like a journey. It is continuous. Surrender is daily. It is not in the past. Today's obedience matters. Hallelujah. Surrender to God shows up in our speech, our relationships, our work, and so forth. Hallelujah. Remember, our topic is the practice of surrender. But I do know that this surrender is not mechanical. Hallelujah. It is a response to the love of God. It is a response to the love of God. Because with the person we are surrendering to, is not a tyrant. Hallelujah. He is not a taskmaster. He is the lover of our soul, the shepherd of our soul, the one who came because of love and died for us, took our place. He didn't want us to experience death and destruction and be condemned forever. Surrender is to this one. One of the pictures that came to me while I was thinking about this message was, you remember the Song of Songs, if you've read it. It was as if, when you read it, you'll be like, what is wrong with this she? Or, I think the beloved, right? Because she went out at night. At some point, the security men in the city caught her. Do you remember that part? Have you read it? I was like, can't you just stay at home and not be endangered? The love was moving her. Yes, yes, we used to use that word, shacking. The love was shacking her. Our surrender is like that, beloved. Hallelujah. Our surrender is like that, beloved. And that's why always meditating on the love of God is a very important part of a Christian's life. Hallelujah. Always remembering, thinking of, praying to grow more in the love of God is very, very important, because the surrender is not a mechanical thing. It is not something by flesh or by might. It is by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, one of the prayers we pray, we pray it from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, says, May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. How do we pray? Please, let's start. I've mixed it up. My focus is on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but let's just open to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. If you have your Bible, please flip and let's go there. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. I think that in our surrender, in the daily choices that we make, these three things are very critical. Hallelujah. We're going to zero in on our speech today, practice of surrender in the things that we say. And we will see why that is very, very important. But just look at this. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, we need the grace of God to surrender. And the love of God, the love of the Father is what moved him, and he sent his son Jesus that he would die for us. And he could have had it any other way because he is God. But because he is love also, he came to rescue us. Hallelujah. We cannot overemphasize the love of God, because that is what will oil our surrender. The machine, the engine of our surrender needs to know the love of God, needs to recount the love of God, needs to always experience and be enveloped in the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I think one of the things that God is emphasizing for me personally in this time is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of us. He should be our go-to, our first contact, the first person we talk to, we inquire from, we ask, we complain to. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, he should be the very first. Because he is with us. It's like when you have someone at home with you and you go out to meet another person for something very personal. Hallelujah. God lives inside of you and me in Christ. If we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. He has been given unto us. And he wants to fellowship with us. He wants to share in common with us. He wants to hear from us, and we hear from him. Hallelujah. Because in that fellowship, in that communion, in that koinonia, you will begin to be transformed and be empowered. The love of God and all that we will yet discuss in this will begin to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let us open to James. Let's start from James chapter 3, 1 and 2. After laying all that foundation of the grace, the love, and the fellowship, let us now go to a very important area where we need that surrender, that practice of surrender showing up. James chapter 3, we're reading from 1 to 12. Are you getting something? All right. Taming the tongue is what the NIV titled this chapter, or this part of the chapter. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. While we're praying, we dwelt on this. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take sheep as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by a small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Sorry, I think I missed the word. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. But it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. My brothers and sisters, This should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Praise the Lord. This is his word. The tongue, a small part, but if you remember what we read in verse 2, it says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Perfection. Perfection is something that James is telling us, that a man who is able or never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. But as we read down, we saw that even man, though he has tamed animals, is not able to tame the tongue. So there must be something that we can put, just as the example of the horse that we're given. We put a small bit in the mouth of the horse to make it to obey. Hallelujah. And the rudder, though it is small, can pilot the whole ship where to go. Praise the Lord. So our tongue, we're starting with our tongue in our practice of surrender, because it is a shortcut to perfection. Hallelujah. If I'm allowed to use the word shortcut, it is the shortcut to perfection. It is the way we can steer our whole body to obey God. Hallelujah. It is the way we can steer our whole body in this life of surrender. Praise the Lord. Let us go to Matthew 12 and read from 34. We sang, I surrender, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. And the Holy Spirit, through this fellowship in the word that we're having this morning, is pointing us to our words, to our tongues. Are we in Matthew 12? Okay, I'll read from 34 to 37. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Hallelujah. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, you brood of vipers. Funny thing was that before, like, paying attention to this scripture, which I've heard recently in many places, I didn't remember that Jesus had called people brood of vipers. I honestly thought it was just John the Baptist's cousin. But, you know, there it is. It says, but how can you say anything good, you brood of vipers? A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. Hallelujah. So to actually speak correctly, speak good, there is coming from a store. Hallelujah. So what are we storing in? It's a journey. We've come from James telling us that, thank you very much. James has told us that a man who is able to control what he says is perfect, can turn his whole body. And now Jesus is telling us expressly that how can you speak? You can speak from the good stored in. Hallelujah. And so in our journey of surrender, we need the word of God inside of us. Hallelujah. to speak the word of God, to speak good, we need the word inside of us. No, because the thing about speaking, you know, in the world today, there is positive speaking, positive affirmations. There are different, you know, things that are said, you know, but our own is different from what they are talking about. Hallelujah. We're not doing just affirmations and positive speaking necessarily. I don't know if you've ever seen this skit where a lady was in an elevator and someone rushed in, wanted to join. I said, is this going down or going up? And I said, I'm not going down in Jesus' name. And I said, no, I'm just asking, where is the elevator going? Is it going down? Or, no, I'm not going down in Jesus' name. Because it was a skit, right? She was trying to speak positively because going down means a bad thing, right? But in that sense, the man just wanted to use the elevator to get to the ground floor, whatever floor was below where she was. So what we are talking about is not just to say anything. Hallelujah. Even if it sounds positive. Like Brother Anduka said this morning, you know, I will not flatter you. You are looking good. Flattery sounds positive. Each one is being flattered now. It's positive things that will be coming out. Hallelujah. But does God permit us to flatter people? No, absolutely not. God wants us to speak the truth in love. God wants us to speak things that can build people up, edify them, make them truly strong. And edifice is a strong thing. Now, if you flatter someone or just, you know, say things that are without any weight, any substance to people, especially if you have, like, your children, for example, if you just speak things without substance, then you are setting them up for failure. Hallelujah. Because when the winds, the storms crash in, it can't stand. So that's why our sure bets of what to speak should be the word and whatever the word approves of. Hallelujah. Let us go to Ephesians, then we'll go to Colossians. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Hallelujah. It says, do not let unwholesome talk. So we speak things that are beneficial, things that are helpful, things that can build others up. Like, if you say to someone, it is well, you know, you are speaking it from a place of knowing that in God it is well. Hallelujah. That's why someone should not shut you out from saying it is well. Praise the Lord. The world should not shut you out because you are saying it from, I've seen many things. I've seen the word of God. It is well. Hallelujah. When you say it is well to a heart that is receptive, in no time, it will truly be well with them. Hallelujah. So when we speak words that can build people up. In our surrender to God, we must be mindful of it. We must be mindful of speaking words that build up, speaking words that encourage, speaking words that are helpful. For example, we can begin to discuss the problems of Nigeria from today up until the end of the year. Every one of us can come up with 5 problems of Nigeria. But even in identifying well the problems, we must always ask for the grace for the solutions. To know the solutions, to speak the solutions, to work out the solutions. Hallelujah. And that is applicable in any organization. whether it's our home, our churches, our units, our workplaces, praise the Lord, it's quite easy to identify problems. But it takes someone that stays and fellowships with God, that has embraced and enjoyed the love of God, to think and speak solutions. Hallelujah. If you experience the love of God, you won't be so critical. Hallelujah. You won't be too quick to judge and pass judgments. Hallelujah. You know, in Corinthians, one of the letters, Paul was writing, and he said that we should not judge because we do not know all. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus was teaching us judge not and all of that, one of the things, like, you can just look at it as a blanket statement because God is the judge. But the thing is that if you even look at it critically, you will see that you don't know all the facts. That's why you are not competent to be the judge. And another thing, Paul said that the time has not yet come. Hallelujah. The time for judgment has not yet come. But you know, if you have suffered in life, some of us have suffered in life. And when I say suffered, it's like you've received dealings from God. You've gone through situations. You are more merciful in your speech. Hallelujah. You are more gentle. You are firm. You are courageous. You speak life, but you are merciful. Hallelujah. Wholesome talk. That is wholesome speech. Now, let's just deal with something in Ephesians before we run. Go Ephesians 5, I think, verse 4. You know what? Let's just read from 1. But I'm going to 4. Ephesians chapter 5. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, some of us may already know this, but not everybody knows this. And that's why it's always good to read the scriptures, to go over it, because some of us are just coming to Christ. Hallelujah. And in Christ, no obscenity. There is a word that starts with the sixth letter of the alphabet. It doesn't belong in the mouth of a believer. Hallelujah. But it may shock you that maybe I've heard it. A believer used that. The person did not know. I don't think he knew. Hallelujah. I don't think we even know that word. Praise the Lord. But if you ever have encountered it based on your life before now in Christ, in Christ now, it doesn't belong in our lips. Hallelujah. And there are other words. Of course, we cannot use that because it does not belong on my lips. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Obscenity, coarse joking, they do not belong to us. A life that is surrendered to God cannot make jest of people, laugh at people. Okay? But in the society, as you go through life, it's a culture. Making fun of people is a culture, and is a culture that predates us, because it's always been here, you know. There's something in Igbo they call Iman Jakele. You know, there's an Iman Jakele that hurts. Hallelujah. You know, which is jesting or joking or just, I don't know how to say it in English, right? But Koa's joking, because when you say that, it's almost like cursing someone created by God. Hallelujah. Please, if you are feeling sleepy, shake your body, shake your body, shake your body. I'm not even as gentle as some preachers that are gentler. You know, some preachers, when they are preaching, very... And yet, hallelujah. But obscene and coarse joking, because when we do that, and let's know that it doesn't belong in our mouth, and begin to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, make sure that, you know, we stay in the line of wholesome, helpful, thanksgiving, faith-filled, love-filled words, truth-filled words, hallelujah. That's a way of, that's a practical way of surrendering to God. And so that, for us to be able to do that, like we read from Matthew, it has to come from something that we are storing in, the conversations that we are having in our heart. And that's why the reading of the scriptures, the pondering of the scriptures, the talking to the Holy Spirit is very important. That fellowshipping and listening back, because I've had many times that, you know, I wanted to, sometimes, you know, I've spoken out of turn without waiting. I was quick to speak, and of course, I was very wrong. I had to go apologize. And that reminds me, apologizing is wholesome talk. Hallelujah. When you are wrong, apologize. When you apologize, you can repair relationships. Praise the Lord. You can put things at ease. Tense situations can, you know, disappear. In Proverbs 15:1 is written that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Wrath. I think that's how English or the Americans pronounce it. Whichever. But a gentle answer. It's also apologizing when we are wrong, because also, there's a way we can stretch, you know, speaking this positively. For example, I've seen something written, like, I've seen in, a post where it says, instead of, when you are late, instead of saying, I'm sorry, instead of apologizing and saying, I'm sorry for being late, just say, thank you for your patience. Have you ever seen that? Think about it. And put yourself in the position of the other. Yes, the person was patient, right? But own up to the fact that you were late and say sorry. Add thank you for your patience, because yes, it says let thanksgiving be in our mouth. Hallelujah. Am I speaking into the mic? I don't know if I've been speaking into the mic. So be sorry, express that repentance for that lateness. Add and thank the person for their patience, but do not follow people that will say, do not say, I'm sorry, do not over-apologize. You know that, because when you apologize, it means that you have thought about what you did and you don't want to do it again. Right? You have said, I am sorry for this. You can add, I won't do it again. For my children, I'll tell them, okay, say you will not do it again. How is it working out well for us? I don't know. Because when they do something, they'll say, sorry. I say, why are you telling me sorry? Did anything happen to me? They say, I am sorry for this, that. I will not do it again. Then the person will come, mommy, I am sorry for pushing down the cup. I will not do it again. There's no guarantee that he will not push the cup. But we are just learning something. Hallelujah. There is no yet a guarantee, because we're going on to perfection. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I remember that apology part. Okay. So a gentle answer turns away wrath. Sometimes things will be heated. We can rub ourselves off the wrong way in our relationships at home or at work. But James also taught and said, be quick to listen, or rather be slow to speak. Quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to get angry. Hallelujah. So, let's listen more than we speak in terms of the speed. Hallelujah. And that would also impact on whether we are going to get angry a lot or not. Praise the Lord. Because when we listen more and speak slower, we will not just be getting angry. There are many times that, oh yes, the thing that happened is deserving of anger. But there are many times that with listening, you will understand and you will not get angry. And also, if we get angry, Paul taught us in Ephesians that be angry, but sin not. Because it has to do with our speech too, because when you are angry, you have a tendency to say many things, right? Does that happen to some people? When you're angry, you have a tendency to lash out. Some people can get physical, which, you know, God is dealing with and transforming us all out of in the name of Jesus. So, our speech, slowing down and listening more, will help us a lot. It's a way of surrendering to God. It's a way to, you know, and I'll go back again to the love of God. When you know that God loves you, when you know that the maker of the universe, he loves you. In Ephesians, in chapter 3, one of the prayers that we pray there, it says that we may know the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of God. This love is so great. There's a song they sing, we can't get over it, we can't get under it. This love is something that we continually pray to grasp. And I believe that between the time you met the Lord and now, it is not the same knowledge of his love that you had at the beginning that you have now. Because you've gone through things that you've experienced his love. Hallelujah. You've experienced his love practically. You've seen him deliver you, rescue you, things you didn't pray for, times you underprayed, things you didn't even have faith enough for. In his mercy, he went on and you experienced all that. And every time you look back at, oh, what if Jesus didn't come into my life? What if I didn't have the Lord? What would have been my story? What would have been my case? What would have been my family's case? Some of us, when we look back, we know that there would have been nothing of us remaining. Hallelujah. When we bask in this love, it will keep us calm in many situations. Even when the person dealing with, the person, maybe someone in authority over you, is dealing with you very well. There was a time in my life I used to meditate or think over, ponder over that scripture. It says that no one can be against me. Where in Romans it says that if he gave his son for us, how won't he, along with him, give us all things? And no one can be against. I'm paraphrasing, but you know that scripture. No one can be against. And at that time, the person was literally against me. Hallelujah. The person was, like, if I wanted to go this way, the person was blocking that way. I was not in doubt that the person was against me. But the scripture says that none can be against me. God, if God be for us, no one can be against me. So this person that is blocking this path, I don't see you. Yes, I see you in terms of it's paining my body, but I am loved by God. He loves me enough to give his son, and with his son, he can give me all things. I don't have all things right now, but this love, because in basking in his love, we'll be calm, we'll not struggle and fight and bicker for many things. Because the fighting, the bickering comes sometimes from us not being secure in the love of God. Hallelujah. When you know that the God of the universe loves me, loves you with an everlasting love, you relax. Hallelujah. Say, I relax. I rest in his love. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I relax in his love. I rest in this love. This love is enough. It's enough for me to surrender in. It's enough for me to go out like that beloved that will go searching for her lover. Hallelujah. This love is powerful enough. I can surrender. I can trust in it like Esther read at the beginning, trust in the Lord at the beginning of Hill City Ministration. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. God is trustworthy. And whatever He has said in His word for you to do, you can do. You can surrender. You can give in. You can yield to Him. Hallelujah. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, Paul was telling the Corinthians, it says that, I think there was a time like some people were taking the others to court. He said that, why are you taking your matter to court? When you are going to judge the world and the angels, you remember that place? And he says, wouldn't you rather be cheated? Hallelujah. Wouldn't you rather be cheated? Sometimes be cheated. But you are not being cheated. Because the person cheating is cheating themselves, really. Hallelujah. You can't be disadvantaged in God. You cannot. You would carry your cross daily, you know. You would crucify self, but you are gaining. Hallelujah. That's that life of surrender. And we can see it in the life of Jesus. When God looks and says, oh, what does surrender look like in your life? He sees the type of life that Jesus lived displayed in yours. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross. He's the ultimate of that surrendered life. Hallelujah. Says the Bible tells us that He, being God, the very, very God, He did not, it's not something He grasped. He's not, He just left it and went and obeyed and died the death on the cross. It's heavy, because when I think about it myself, I know the areas I need to carry my cross. Hallelujah. But was there resurrection? Was there resurrection? There will be resurrection. There will be resurrection. There will be resurrection. Just keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. For the joy set before Him, there is a joy set before you. There is a crown of victory for you. And it is real. Hallelujah. Better than anything that the world can offer. That crown of victory is better than anything that the world can offer. And you know, when we ponder, we look, sometimes I'm sure you're asking, I wonder what it will be like really in heaven and, you know, the new earth and the new heaven. You know, we begin to wonder. Because we know that even in this fallen world, we have seen the goodness of God. Hallelujah. We've seen the beauty of God, the greatness of God in creation. Creation speaks of Him. We've seen beauty in this world. Then imagine the next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to the final place, I believe. We're still zeroing in on the practice of surrender on our, when it comes to our speech and how really it impacts every other area. Colossians chapter 3, we'll read from 12 to 17. Okay. Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to point out about, let's talk a little bit about gratitude. Hallelujah. Here, it talks about, in 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, true, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Praise the Lord. Be thankful. It says, it continues again in verse 16. It says, admonish one another with all wisdom, true psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And then finally, it says, giving thanks to God in verse 17. God the Father through faith, through him. So one of the things that we need to include in our speech to make it wholesome, to make it good, to make it godly, to make it something that is truly surrendered to God is gratitude. Hallelujah. I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen that. I see a lot of these things because I work on the media a lot. So someone says, since you turned 30s, have you noticed that whenever you sit down, you just say, thank you, Jesus? You know, they were just trying to make fun of, like, as you age, you know, some things that you're thankful to be able to sit down, to kneel down, to rise up. So they said that we oldies, well, anything we do, we always say, thank you, Jesus. Now we know what our parents used to go through. Hallelujah. But really, I think that's a good one. It highlights the fact that we should just be thankful. Let gratitude well up in your heart and let it come out from your lips. Gratitude to God. Thank people. Hallelujah. When people do things for you, thank them. Thank them again. Hallelujah. Thank God. Let God, let what God has done. You know, have a lot of time where you are very mindful so that you are thinking of the goodness of God and it will be welling up in thanksgiving in your mouth. You will see that most complaining will almost be eliminated from your speech. Spending time dwelling on God's goodness, what he has done, the miracles, you would see that complaining will almost disappear from your speech. And if you enter a season where you are murmuring or complaining, you know that something is wrong. Hallelujah. Okay, no. Let's go back to dwelling on what God has done. And God has done so much. Hallelujah. God has done so much. God has done so much. God has done so much. And he's still doing a lot. And, you know, we just need to be mindful of it and let our lips praise him. Hallelujah. Let our lips bless people. You know, in Job, he says that where there is a casting down, you will say there is a lifting up for them that are down. You know, sometimes we use it for just ourselves. But that scripture was talking about using your words to minister lifting for others. Hallelujah. I'm in no doubt that the rescue of the kidnapped children in Oyo was God. Because he played out exactly what he said in his word about it. Hallelujah. And so when you think about those kind of things, you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You did it. You did it. The one who answers prayer is your name. You answer prayers. I have a lot of way bills that come in based on, I print books in Lagos. So all the time I'm receiving books, you know. And for every time a way bill comes in, that was safe trip. That was a safe trip for the people in the bus that carried my luggage. That was a safe trip for the driver if it was just like a haulage or a logistics company. And you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that our children, they go to school. Let's just have gratitude on our lips. It's a way of surrendering to God. Of a way of showing our trust in Him. That, see, we trust you, Lord. We know you can do it. You know, we know that you've done it. We've seen you many times do it. Hallelujah. So surrender to God is such a sweet thing. Hallelujah. It's so practical, but it's sweet because it is born out of the love of God for us. The experience of this love for us. Let's just stand on our feet and just give Him thanks. Let's just give Him thanks. Let's just practice a little surrender in thanksgiving. I don't need to tell you what to thank God for. You are here. You slept. You are awake. Because the Lord sustained you. Give Him thanks. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for life, for godliness, for your word, for your spirit living inside of me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the great and precious, wonderful miracles you do in our midst. Thank you for adding a baby to this house last week. Oh, thank you for the many birthdays of July, from January to February to March to April to May to June to July. Oh, Father, we say thank you. Lord, we are grateful. We are not unmindful of the things you do for us. Our children are concluding another session of academic year. And we are grateful. They went and they came back safely. We say thank you. They went and they learned, Lord. Oh, they got better. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word over this house, that we are 10 times more capable. Thank you, Lord, for we are being more capable as people. Oh, thank you. You are working with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your word coming to us. Thank you for forgiving our sins, Lord. When we miss it, you do not cast us away completely. Oh, Father, we are grateful. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we exalt you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you for your parents. Oh, for your siblings, for their children. Oh, thank you for everything, Lord. For comfort in this house, Lord, we are grateful. Lord, we are grateful. Oh, for connections, we are grateful. Oh, thank you for uplifting, for empowerment. Thank you for every program that has successfully held this year in the Cornerstone Church. We are grateful. Thank you for all the units. Thank you for all the women, all the men, all the children. Father, we are grateful. All the school fees that were paid, Lord, we say thank you. Oh, all the meals that we've eaten, Lord, we say thank you. Oh, thank you for all the favor that we have experienced, Lord. All the bills that have been paid, we are grateful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for we are accepted in the beloved. Oh, we don't need the permission of any man. We are accepted in the beloved because of Jesus. Oh, thank you for your precious Holy Spirit in our lives. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord. Let us do one final thing. Let's open to Psalm. Let's just practice something in Psalm 118. I think it's... Okay. Verse 15. We're going to practice this now. Hallelujah. And I'll be out of here. 118 verse 15 says, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Hallelujah. Can we shout? Can we shout? Hallelujah! Shouts of joy and victory are in the tents of the righteous. Lord, you have done mighty things. You have done mighty things in our homes. You have done mighty things in our businesses. You have done mighty things in our ministries. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for victory. We shout for joy. Joy fills our lives. Joy fills our homes. Joy fills everything that we touch. Joy fills our hearts, oh Lord. Joy fills us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet. Shouts of joy and victory, Lord. For you have done mighty things for us. You have rescued us from the fowler's snare. Oh, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.